Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and he gives to all of them their name. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares the rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beast their food and to the young raven that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. This is the word.
17 to 34. Matthew 6, 19 to 34, so verses 19 to 24 are just a little bit of context, and then the passage we're looking at this morning is verse 25 to 34. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Brothers and sisters, do not be anxious. I say that just as much to myself. Some translations have "do not worry." The two words are synonyms. The boys and girls, or am I pushing it a bit with the boys and girls? Young people, you know what a synonym is? It means they're basically another word for the same thing. And Jesus refers to worry or anxiety 6 times in this one passage. Not only that, on 3 occasions he says it as a command, not just some helpful advice just to throw out there, take it or leave it, but actually as a command. Verse 25, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious. And verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow. And there is one other command in the passage too, which is verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. But how can we not worry? Young people, if you have to do an exam, how can you not worry? I mean, because, you know, the exam, if you don't do so well, the marks won't be so high. It could determine your ATAR score or whatever scores they're into these days, and it could determine your career. How can you not worry? If you're getting older, how can you not worry? Who will look after you if you lose your faculties? Will you still be able to drive? How can you not worry when you're called into the hospital or doctor's office just another time? If the household budget is struggling, how can you not worry about the bills? How can you not worry about the decisions your children are going to make when you've told them so much over the years where they ought to go, but they're starting to have their own minds and they're going to make their own paths with their own heart? So how do we deal with worry? In this passage, we see both the wisdom and compassion of our Lord. This passage doesn't say everything about worry and anxiety, because this is a huge topic, actually, and there are many other passages that fill out a theology of worry. We could look to, you know, Philippians 4, where it says, you know, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, etc., etc. And there are other passages too that talk about worry and anxiety. It's a huge topic, but this particular passage has enough and says enough for us to encourage us to go forward into a new year. It points us to the right frame of mind to face 2022, because it not only tells us not to worry and commands us not to worry, it gives us every reason not to get caught up in sinful expressions of worry. Every reason, because we can trust our Heavenly Father. So in a nutshell, this is what the passage is about. Do not worry. Let's trust our Heavenly Father. Now, what do we mean by worry or anxiety? Let me first say what it is not about. 3 things that are not meant. 1, do not worry does not mean we become lazy and apathetic about life. It doesn't mean we, you know, take some herbs and chill out and live the rest of our days in Byron Bay. It doesn't mean that at all. We still work hard and fulfill what God is calling us to do. We take responsibility and we take human responsibility. 2, neither does it mean all worry and anxiety is wrong. 2 Corinthians 11:28, Paul speaks of his anxiety for the churches. We all understand there's such a thing as a healthy stress, or you could even say maybe a healthy anxiety. You know, on the cricket pitch, you want the players to have intent. You don't want them just to be casual, oh, pick up the ball, oh, we'll drop the ball. No, they've got to have intent. And you could say, well, that's a healthy level of stress or an anxiety. And then 3, do not worry does not exclude the use of medication. See, there are some very, very complex cases in this whole area of worry and anxiety. You know, PTSD, for example. There's lots of complexities out there in this whole area. And what tends to happen is you can get physical elements and also spiritual sides to it, and they all get combined and mixed together. So I believe there is a place to medicate for that physical side. So we use a medication for physical things in our body, and for the physical side of this, it's a complex area. So, what type of worry is in view? Well, our Lord is warning us against a fretting that makes too much about material things. And in turn, what happens is the burden of life shifts from God to ourselves. Put more simply, we become preoccupied with the things of this world instead of resting with God or resting in God. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so, brothers and sisters, your Heavenly Father calls you this morning to rest in Him, because maybe you're not ready to face the year ahead. Maybe you do feel like, you know, that cartoon character Chicken Little, where the sky is always falling on your head. Maybe you feel like that. Well, let's be encouraged from God's word this morning not to worry. Firstly, don't worry, because you're in the care and I'm in the care of our Heavenly Father. Verse 25 begins with therefore. It's always good to ask why the therefore is therefore. And it's there because just previous, Jesus has made put some very stark choices before His people. Very stark. You've got to choose that way or that way. There's no hedging here. So you choose God or your things. Because no one, He says, can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot. You've got to make a choice. And especially in our materialistic age, make your choice. And so in short, we're to live for Him and not for the things of the world. But that's tough, isn't it? Because straight away we think, oh no, but I've got bills to be paid and investments need to perform and my job that I'm doing needs to be performed well because I could get the sack. And so we start to think of all these things that could go wrong. We don't be too neglectful with our things. Then Jesus, He meets any objections we might have, and He reads our minds and says, do not be anxious about your life. What you'll eat, or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. He argues from the greater to the lesser. If God looks after our lives, our bodies, how much more is He going to look after everything else? In short, we don't need to worry about a thing. Why not? Well, there are many reasons in this passage, six in all actually, but the most important ones are up front. We have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. Two illustrations show this. In verse 26, his hearers are encouraged to look at the birds. So, look at the birds. Maybe this afternoon, look at the birds. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. The birds are busy, they're working hard, but you don't see the birds all stressed out, do you? You don't see their heads and their feathers going, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get 5 worms today, how I'm going to pull it off. Boys and girls, have you seen birds that are really stressed out? No, they just go about their business. They don't have to worry, because God is looking after them. The argument is from the lesser to the greater. We're far more valuable than birds. We are created in the image of God, of course. So if God is going to look after the birds and they don't have to be stressed, how much more is He going to look after us? Why wouldn't God take care of us? Another illustration found in verses 28 to 30. Jesus now encourages us to look or to consider the lilies. And most commentators think that it's some sort of wildflower is meant. And so these particular lilies are uncultivated, unproductive, and very transitory. Here one moment, gone the next. But you know, these lilies, not even Solomon. And he was quite the picture of wealth. Not even Solomon can compare. with their beauty. So if God clothes uncultivated, unproductive, and transitory flowers and grass, how much more will he not clothe you? And so you see, we have a heavenly Father who provides and who sustains. To describe this beautiful truth, theologians use that term, providence. And Psalm 147 we read from is all about that providence, you know, where phrases like, he makes the grass grow. He provides food for the cattle. Boys and girls, and you know the song, he's got the whole world in his hands. And I can't express it any better than the Catechism in Lord's Day 10, which says this about providence. It says, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. Brothers and sisters, don't worry. Trust your heavenly Father. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety and worries on him. And you know what it says next? Because he cares for you, cares for me. Now, it doesn't mean we simply let go and let God, because this birds, again, they're not sitting on the branch, beaks open, just waiting for that worm from heaven. They're doing their work. So we don't just let go and let God. Again, we manage, we take responsibility. But when all is said and done, when we've taken all our human responsibilities, then we just leave it in God's hands. And whatever thing is in our life that we're worrying too much about, we just leave it there. After all, truth be told, worry is quite a pointless exercise, is it not? The illustration in verse 27 teaches us that. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? In short, you gain nothing. One group of stats suggested an average person's anxiety is focused on the following. 40% on things that will never happen. 30% about things in the past that can't be changed. 12% on things or criticisms by others, which are mostly untrue. 10% about health, which gets worse with stress. And 8% about real problems that will be faced. You know, you got to, with these stats, you know, you take them with a grain of salt, but that sounds fairly spot on, doesn't it? Jesus says it's just a pointless exercise. Now, not only does Jesus give us every encouragement not to worry, he also goes into some of the deeper heart issues in play. And this is where he is very gracious and compassionate as well. So secondly, do not worry because we're not living for this world. Do not worry because we're not living for this world. There are a wide variety of causes for anxiety, and any counselor will point that out. Some are very complicated. And as I alluded to earlier, some cases there are physical causes and spiritual causes, and they get all intertwined. And so we just got to be very careful as we minister to each other in this area, because people's situations are different. However, while there are complex cases, let's not miss an important truth from this passage. Let's not miss the fact that much, I'm not saying all, but much worry and anxiety is a faith issue. Did you notice what Jesus said in verse 31? O you of little faith. See, the root of much anxiety is unbelief. To put it plainly, we're dealing here with a sin, a respectable sin, but a sin all the same. Don't be anxious has the force of a moral command. But, and then Jesus not only exposes it as a sin, but this is why we've got to be very careful how we minister to one another. He also exposes one of the leading drivers of this sin, materialism. Verse 32 says, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." The reference is to those who live for this world only. Their worldview is all about the here and now. Such a worldview is quoted in 1 Corinthians 11, "Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die." You know, that's what some of the people were believing in the first century. And today, well, that's pretty much the dominant worldview in Australia, is it not? You know, people say, "Oh, we'll do this and that because we only live once, don't we?" Many dodgy health and wealth preachers say much the same. They say, "Well, your best life now." Isn't that why the shops have been so busy lately? Isn't that why your letterbox is clogged with all those catalogues? Our culture wants more and more goodies. The materialistic life is the good life, you see. But is it? Don't you find it interesting that although the West has more goodies than ever in its history, it's also more anxious lately. It's more anxious than it has been in a long time. See, some counselors will point out that the 50s and 60s were known as anxious times because it was the post-World War II era. But isn't it funny, with all our goodies and all our materialism, a lot of people are anxious because of it. And there's a reason for that, isn't there? Because if you cut God out of the picture and you go down the materialistic track, well, then you must play God. See, you must provide. You must hold on to. You must seek after all these things. And the verb seek implies being absorbed in the search for and a persevering and strenuous effort to obtain. See, you must do that if you do not have a God who's watching your back. So is it any surprise that the culture of today is anxious? Because they don't believe in God anymore. And so many people end up on the hamster wheel to get more and more. There's a little nursery rhyme that sums it up. Said the raven to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rust about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the raven, "Friend, I think it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Brothers and sisters, are material things the be-all and end-all of your life? This is the difficult question we have to ask of the passage. Let's ask ourselves some tough questions. Do my worries and your worries for 2022 reflect a preoccupation with material things? Does our anxiety reflect a lack of trust in our Heavenly Father? For example, by all means, care for your body, but don't idolize it. For some, it becomes all-consuming. Some can't stop looking for health remedies. Others vainly try to ward off aging. Others want to do a bit of nip and tuck to get the perfect image. Others stress over figure and fashion lest they be left on the shelf. It goes on. By all means, plan financially. Providing for families is important. 1 Timothy 5:8. The Proverbs 31 woman is industrious. But don't fret over every financial decision, setback, or the latest economic data. By all means, study diligently for the exam. Be a good steward of your skills and gifts and abilities. But don't fret over what a bad grade means for your well-being, pride, or future. Can you see the point? We have a Heavenly Father who cares for us and who is in control, and ultimately we belong to His kingdom, which is beyond this world. So we're not setting our sights on all everything right here and right now. Our best life is not now. Our best life is actually still to come. So it's no use putting too much stock on what we're going to achieve here and now. And the Bible reminds us again and again that life is short, actually. It's a breath. You talk to anyone who's in their 80s or 90, and they'll say to you, many times it felt like yesterday, because life goes so quick. Don't put all your stock on the here and now. That's what the pagans are doing. That's the materialistic outlook. But we belong to another kingdom, Christ's kingdom. And so finally, do not worry. Focus on his kingdom. People have tried to solve worry in many different ways. Bob Marley has been a solace for many. Rastafaris are known for rejecting materialism, which is a good thing, but they don't really have the solution. Bob Marley said, well, don't worry about a thing, because every little thing's going to be all right. That's easier to say when you're high on drugs. Then, of course, there are your 10 steps to dealing with worries as well, whatever the shape or form they take. I'm sure there's plenty of books on the top booksellers list with 10 steps to deal with your worries. You could also do what one executive did, and he left all his worries for Wednesdays. This saved a lot of worries that way. Just dealt with them all on Wednesdays, because by the time he got to them, most had disappeared. Or you could do what many churches fall into the trap of doing and provide a legalistic solution, because, you know, this text says a command, do not worry, so just do not worry and get on with it. And I'm sure I've been guilty with that at times too. But if we just say do not worry and leave it there and throw out the commands, we don't help people in their struggle, because we don't remind them of the power from Christ to help in the struggle. So more must be said, and more than any of the trite solutions we might find on the internet. Significantly, this passage goes on, because we're told not only to get rid of worry, we're also told what we can put in its place. We're pointed to the power to go forward with encouragement. And so we're pointed in this passage to trust in God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The text has already pointed us to a loving heavenly Father, but now as it reaches its climax, it calls us once again to trust, to look to our heavenly Father. In other words, come and renew your love and loyalty and commitment to him, and come and rest in him again. 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Wherever you've sinned in this area and dropped the ball, look to Christ. Come back to your heavenly Father, because he forgives for all of our sins, including in this area. We've taken our eyes off him and looked to our own strength. When we haven't rested in him and looked to our own strength, bring that to him. Because he has made, as our heavenly Father, he's made provision for us in Christ to forgive us for it all. So we don't need to be plagued by our past sins of worries and anxieties, because even our heavenly Father has dealt with that too. You see, he makes provision for us in every way, physically, spiritually, in everything. And so rest yourself. This is the invitation from this passage. Come and rest yourself in his care again. Rest yourself in his love. You're dearly loved by him in Christ. He's going to look after you. You are under his wings, Psalm 91. He is our refuge and our strength and our rock. Know that again. And nothing in 2022 is going to separate you from his love. Nothing at all. You can't even dream up a sin that could separate you from his love. Knowing Christ, that you are secure and your life is secure, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and so he's pulled off the big one. He's pulled off the big one and secured our life, life eternal. Death doesn't have the last word in our lives. It's no longer, it doesn't have a sting. It's no longer a curse to be feared. It's Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and our life is going nowhere. It's always with Jesus. Life is fragile, but in Jesus we have confidence. And so then, once we are secure in his care, once we're resting in him again, we can then begin to open our hands to the things we're trying to control. Because for all of us, it's different things that we try to hold on to and try to control and fear losing and dropping. But once we're resting ourselves in God, we can actually open our hands to that thing. Just leave it there in an open hand. Because we know our Heavenly Father will do what is best and what is right and what is good. And once we begin to do that, we can focus less on that and then start to focus on seeking his kingdom again. When we're secure in him, we can focus then on the agenda. The agenda in the Lord's Prayer, the agenda that he says here, the kingdom agenda. Praying, we can start praying again for the kingdom to come. We can start praying and supporting kingdom causes. We can start praying and supporting believers and their Christian growth. We can start praying and supporting the work of evangelism. We can focus our attention on raising a godly family. We can bring godliness to bear in an ungodly workplace. We can prioritize our private family and corporate worship. We can do the things God is calling us to do and not be distracted from them. The list goes on. Because aren't these things the things he's calling us to do for the year ahead? So seek these things. Seek his kingdom. Open your hand to everything else. And you know what? The king will have our back. And everything else will be looked after in the meantime. That's a promise. Verse 33, and all these things will be added to you. Now, before we finish, there's one more encouragement. There's so many here. There's one more. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, normally we don't worry so much about what's happening right here, right now, in the present moment. We actually worry about what's around the corner, what the future holds. And so Jesus gives us some good wisdom there too. Because those who live in tomorrow land will always have a lot to fret about. So Jesus gives us his wisdom to don't worry about tomorrow. Again, doesn't mean we're not taking responsibility and not planning. And Jesus is not against planning. Just don't worry about it once the plans have been set. And not only that, God grants new mercies for new troubles. Lamentations 3:22-23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. If the troubles are bigger tomorrow, the mercies will be bigger too. God doesn't give those mercies today, so you may feel weak to face tomorrow, but he doesn't give the mercies for tomorrow today. He'll give them tomorrow. And so we live like they lived in the desert. In the 40 years in the desert, we live day by day in dependence on God. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, Jesus says. And from the rest of Scripture, from Lamentations, we can add, but sufficient will also be God's appointed mercy for that trouble. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, entrust yourself afresh to your Heavenly Father. Let me do the same. Offload it all to him. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China and founder of what is now known as Overseas Mission Fellowship, Missionary Fellowship, he gave this advice. Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all right into God's hand. And then when we've given all over to Him, there'll be nothing left for us to be troubled about. Brothers and sisters, do not worry, because He cares for you. How will He not also, along with Jesus Christ, not give us all things? You know, Romans 8. He cares for you. He cares for me. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And don't forget, sufficient will be the mercy to meet new troubles. Amen.